It's a Manumana song from the Muppets.
Love that song.
I was just telling Matt off the air that I wasn't a huge fan of this new Muppets movie. Matt Pace is in studio. He's the movie critic from The Red Eye. Matt Bubala and Anna DeVlantes are in for Bill and Wendy today. And Matt, you really gave me a look when I said I didn't like Muppets Most Wanted. You really gave me that look like I think you critics get when people when you tell people you don't like movies.
I almost walked out, man. If you say anything negative about the Muppets,
I love the Muppets. I own the DVDs from the Muppet Show. We have them all at home.
So tell me why you didn't like Muppets Most Wanted as much.
I just thought they kind of cheesed out on the story. Like it just became Cars 2 in a weird way. Like, all right, let's go on an adventure now and let's run around and... I don't know. It just
how dare you put Cars 2 in Muppets Most Wanted?
I know Cars 2 was a huge disappointment.
Different categories altogether.
It was a bad movie. I agree, and I loved. And most a lot of critics pan Cars, but I think that's one of the best Pixar movies. I love the original Cars. I think it's heartfelt. I think it's got a good story. I don't understand what everybody complains about with that movie.
Wow, I'd be lying if I said it was fresh in my mind. I've been happy not to revisit it.
Get some young kids in your life, you'll start watching that movie.
Put it this way.
Yeah, right. It starts having a different bar when you have children in your life. You're like, oh, okay, I can get through Brave.
Well,
I
again,
can't
okay.
get through yeah. Monsters University again.
I mean, put it this way. If you want to really think that Cars is great, watch Cars 2.
Ooh, all right.
But if you don't, if you want to think Cars is okay, watch The Incredibles or Ratatouille or Toy Story or all the many Pixar movies that are better.
I think Cars is right up there with them, doggone it.
Wow,
man. I do.
Okay.
I do. I love Cars. I'm sorry. Take another look.
Man, we got to know what to go see this weekend. And how would you describe overall the pick of new movies that are out?
That's a good question, Anna. This is sort of a strange week where I had 8 new movie reviews this week, and yet there isn't really one film that I think is getting the most attention. So people are probably... unsure of what really they should see. They're probably seeing a lot of trailers for Draft Day, for
right.
Oculus, for Cuban Fury, for everything. What is the most interesting to you guys that you've seen?
Oculus. I watched the trailer and I was freaked out of my mind because it seems like one of those psychological thrillers. See, I can see snakes and monsters and scary people with chainsaws and it doesn't freak me out, even violence, whatever. But when you get those psychological thrillers, mm-hmm. it really messes with me. I don't know if was this one a good one, Oculus?
This is really, really not a good one.
Oh, they made the trailer look so good. I was freaking out because I watched it late at night and I literally had to go check in the closet and walk around before I could go to bed.
There is no better example of the way that a trailer often... Sometimes the trailer gives away the whole movie, but sometimes the trailer completely obscures the quality or lack thereof. And with horror movies, that's always the case because it's easy to cut together 2 minutes of a lot of darkness and a lot of scary noises and things jumping out. But then when you actually sit through the 2-hour movie, and this is not, I mean, I guess you could say it's a psychological thriller, but mostly it's a movie about whether or not there's a supernatural force living inside of a mirror, to the point of where once one of the main characters walked up to this old mirror and said, "Good to see you again. You must be hungry." I was just like, that's it.
Okay, you were done.
I'm laughing
right.
at this.
I see what you're
this
talking
is,
about.
I'm totally out. And it's interesting. This movie sort of revolves around this notion of a mirror that shows you the deepest fears inside of yourself and has these terrible things coming out. But the way that it plays out with these kids who are trying to figure out if the mirror was responsible for this family tragedy that happened 11 years ago, it's more laughable than terrifying.
Okay, skip that
well,
one.
Well, I think that brings up an interesting question, though, and that is who makes the trailers? Because the director, they make the movie, they hand it in,
mm-hmm.
and then it's probably a completely separate company under a different direction of the marketing people coming up with the trailers, right? So
yeah,
does that often happen where you see this trailer and it looks incredible, and it's like, yeah, well, if we only had used 2 minutes of it, we could make an incredible movie out of this.
Yeah, there are people that's their job is to cut trailers together. I think people probably don't realize how much time goes by between when a movie is finished and then when it actually comes out. And that's also part of the reason why sometimes you see something in the trailer and that's not in the final cut of the movie. Because you'll usher a version of the film to the trailer making people and they cut it together. And then whether it's after a test screening or they had to be cut for length or whatever it may be, then the final movie, that's just not in there. But if there's like one big highlight that worked for the trailer, they don't really care. No one's going to... I wonder how many people have ever gone up to the ticket counter and said, there was a really funny line in the trailer and it wasn't in the movie.
Yeah,
I want my money back.
Right. Well, that is kind of my general rule that if the trailer gives away too much story or the more story that it gives away is kind of inversely proportionate to the quality of the film. Because I'm like, you don't have to tell the story in the trailer if it's a good movie.
Yeah, they usually do. I try to avoid trailers whenever I can. I know a lot of people love them. It's a fun way to get a sense of what's coming up and what you may or may not be excited about. But too often, especially with a thriller or a comedy, you feel like you either see the whole story or you got the five best jokes. And then when it comes up in the movie, I'm like chuckling 60% less because I'm like, well, this is still funny, but I've heard this already.
Well, I think we wonder about that, especially with the comedies, because when you see a really action-packed trailer and it's a movie maybe you're iffy about going into, especially a sequel, Anchorman 2, whatever iteration of The Hangover they're on, you see all the funny parts and you can't help but thinking, okay, is that the whole thing right there? Did I just see every funny part of that movie?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a lot of people complain about justifiably that there just aren't a lot of new good ideas in Hollywood. And if you see a trailer that's loud and manic and seems like it's trying really hard, but you walk away either not knowing what the story is or not actually feeling like you're interested in the story, then it's not really advertising for a movie. It's just kind of advertising for noise or jump scares or whatever it may be. And a lot of things tend to be disappointing that way.
Matt Pace is the movie critic from The Red Eye. When we come back, Draft Day is probably the one that's gotten the most pub, so we'll find out what Matt thinks about that, and we'll take your calls. 312-981-7200. If you have a question for Matt or a comment on a movie, give us a call. Matt and Anna in for Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. Anna DeVlantes and Matt Bubala in for Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN. In studio with us, Matt Pace, movie critic at The Red Eye. Matt, tell us a little bit about Kevin Costner's latest sports movie.
Yes, we have another. I'm surprised that we have more Kevin Costner leading roles. I mean, he's been gone for a little while, and this is his third film this year, I believe.
Well,
really?
It's a sports movie. You got to bring Kevin Costner.
I guess that's the rule,
movie.
That if you make a sports movie, first you have to call Kevin Costner and be like, Kevin, are you interested?
Right.
Yeah, how do you feel about this? This one is about the NFL draft, as you have seen in the ads. And it's all about trying to figure out if the Cleveland Browns GM, played by Costner, is going to make a trade or figure out where he's going to actually go with his job, of course, on the line. Earlier that day, his colleague and girlfriend, Jennifer Garner, tells him he's pregnant. It's just like everything's happening on the same day, of course.
Of course.
And I'm a big football fan. I thought that this would interest me a lot more than it did. For one thing, Kevin Costner is just... If he ever held the screen, he's just not doing it anymore. He's just like a soft presence at this point. And to try to suggest that he's this quietly confident executive that even if it doesn't seem like he's in charge, he's sort of massaging the background of everything that's happening in the organization, that just did not work for me at all. And in a lot of ways, I don't know how you guys feel about the NFL. They've had some decently poor publicity in recent months. This movie felt to me like they were trying to make everyone believe that it was a nice league where everyone just cares about the character of the athletes and everyone's friends and family, and that's the only thing that matters, which is nice because players are people. They're not just athletes, but that I did not find that convincing.
Well, and didn't the NFL have some role in this movie? Because I thought I saw a headline about some scene that got cut because there was pressure from the NFL.
Oh, really? I didn't see that, but I just read an interview with Costner where he said that, yeah, the NFL was totally on board with this and they were allowed to actually go to the draft last year, I think. And it's clear to see why as you watch the film, because you can tell that the movie is trying to make the league seem like this family. Although I could not believe that it treats the viewers like they know nothing about football, where I think the only people who see this will be football fans. Every time you go to a new city in draft day, it's like... you see a shot of Seattle and it says Seattle. Then you see a shot of the stadium and it says home of the Seahawks.
It's I know where we are now.
All people seeing this movie know who plays in that city. You don't need to do Houston, home of the Texans.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the Houston Bears. I'm so surprised.
Well, it's funny you say that because my husband saw the trailer with me last night and he said, I want to go see that movie. And I was like, I don't. So you're right. He's a huge sports fan and it feels like that might attract that audience. So
I don't
talk down to him.
Yeah, right? I don't know if it's trying to make a movie for everyone where it's like, okay, we brought football fans in with the premise, but we're also going to have all this emotional content and try to make it accessible for people who really don't care about football. I say just watch Friday Night Lights because that show will always be one of my favorites and a great example of something where you don't actually have to care about football to love it.
Right. So true.
Kevin Costner, you mentioned if he ever held the screen, he doesn't now. Do you think, because Kevin Costner, I think the general public perception has become he's an ass, right?
You think?
I think so. I think he seems like a pompous jerk now. Maybe that's just me. But I wonder how that bleeds into things. Like, do you ever see a movie and, like, when Tom Cruise had so much negative publicity or things like that, does it become hard for us as a public to lose ourselves in the roles and not be like, oh, I hate Kevin Costner, I'm not going to see that movie?
I think that is a fascinating question and something that a lot of people struggle with when you question, can you separate an artist from their art? You know, it's something that comes up when Chris Brown releases a new album or when there's a new Mel Gibson movie or something like that. And it's challenging because people hear about things that happen off set, off stage, whatever it may be. You know, there was a movie called The Beaver a few years ago that Jodie Foster directed and Mel Gibson starred in.
That's right.
I think that is a challenging, strange, and really, really good movie. Nobody saw it because Mel Gibson is the star, and that was not surprising, but sometimes you look at something and you have to say, okay, this liking this movie does not mean you're saying I love Mel Gibson. It's not saying anything about Mel Gibson. It's just saying this is a good film that he happens to star in. It's not about him.
Let's get to some of the other movies because I know people are trying to decide what they want to see this weekend, and it's such a range. Cheap Thrills, Cuban Fury, and Under the Skin are three of the other ones you're reviewing.
Yeah, I like Cheap Thrills. This one stars Chicago native Pat Healy as a guy who really, really, really needs money. He's out for a night with his old pal, played by Ethan Embry, who is completely unrecognizable in this movie.
Is that the cop from Bridesmaids? Which one?
No, that's Chris O'Dowd, who is in Cuban Fury. In Cheap Thrills, Ethan Embry, he was in like That Thing You Do and Vegas Vacation. People probably haven't seen a lot of him much lately, but now he's this really muscular, tough guy. And these guys are willing to participate in these escalating challenges in Cheap Thrills for money. So it's like, for $50, will you do this? No, I don't think so. How about for $1,000, will you do this? Okay, yes, I definitely will. David Koechner and Sarah Paxton are the couple that are presenting these challenges. This movie is twisted and odd.
People like it, though. You gave it 3 stars, and isn't there a scene that where they're trying to decide if they'd cut off their finger, their little finger, for like $20,000 or something?
Yeah, things
crazy?
Get pretty messed up. I mean, the challenges start at a place where just like try to get that woman at the bar to slap you, but that's the low end of the challenge, and then it gets, I don't want to give away what the most extreme, highest paying challenge is, but yeah.
Yeah.
You sort of get what you pay for there.
Wow.
That sounds very interesting. What about for the kids? Is there anything, you know, we talked about the Muppets. You would recommend the Muppets, apparently. I'm a little anti-Muppets. Rio 2 is coming out, right?
Rio 2 does open today. I skipped that one because that, I think, is a movie only for the kids, not something that Red Eye readers are wondering about. I did see the first Rio. It would be hard to think of an animated movie that bored me so thoroughly.
Ooh.
And that's actually a great example of what I think has been wrong with kids' movies for the last several years, is that they all have the same story for the most part. There's just no imagination. It's like, I'm a bird, but I want to be more than a bird. I'm a snail, but I want to be a race car driver. I'm a tree, but I wish I could run around and be an athlete. It's just like everything is the same, but with a different character.
What'd
you think of Brave? Because that's a big hit in our household right now. We watch Brave over and over again because it was one of the first ones where you had a female lead in a kids animated movie.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic to actually see a kids movie with a female character in the lead role. I thought that movie was okay. I don't remember it super well, but I felt like the story just didn't develop in a way that felt satisfying. And that's, in general, Pixar, I think their storytelling abilities have really fallen off in recent years. You can tell that they're out of ideas. I mean, resorting to, like, Cars 2 and Monsters University, they just don't have anything left.
Do you think they don't have anything left, or is there pressure because of Disney buying them that now we're going to make money? Now we're going to do the sequels because those are going to bring in the cash. So we'll do your artsy Ratatouille film down the road, but let's get out the sequels that make the cash.
Maybe, but they're great. Their best films have been very profitable. I mean, Ratatouille right. and The Incredibles and stuff like that have always made money. It might be a little discouraging to look at, like, I think Cars is probably one of their most profitable films. And
it's one of the best, Matt.
You know.
Matt's sticking with it. As we know,
Matt, if something makes a lot of money is very successful, it must be great, which is why we know that Britney Spears is the best singer of all time and the Black Eyed Peas are the best rap group of all time. You see where I'm going?
I'm getting very snarky.
Great logic. Great logic. I think he's got you.
Hey,
on that.
Toy Story, how were they able to keep the quality? Because don't you think, I thought all 3 Toy Story movies were great.
Exactly. Great example. And Toy Story 3 still made a ton of money. That was one of the most profitable movies of 2010, and that was beautiful. And that's exactly what they should keep doing.
Movies that actually appeal to adults as well, because some of those do. When they're done well and they're made well, it's not just a kids' movie.
Exactly. And Speaking on behalf of all children, as I think I can right now,
can.
for no reason whatsoever. I think kids appreciate when they're not talked down to. They want to get immersed in an interesting, good story. They can tell when something is just a carbon copy of something else. And that's why most of the time that stuff does better. But at the same time, families are looking for any opportunity to go see a kid's movie. There aren't a ton of them. So when some of the lesser options come out, people are just like, well, okay, this might be cute.
So as of right now, you would say either Muppets Most Wanted or Get Out and Enjoy the Weather this weekend.
For families, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, I haven't seen Rio 2, so perhaps it is the exact opposite of the first one, because we know that's how sequels always go.
Right. That's usually how it goes, right, Matt?
Yeah, exactly. Matt Pace is the film critic for The Red Eye. Follow him at Matt Pace on Twitter and go to redeye.com or pick up a Red Eye and see all the reviews. If there was one movie this weekend out of all of them, you talked about all of them, what would you recommend for adults to go see?
Either Cheap Thrills or Under the Skin. Very odd movie starring Scarlett Johansson. It's done by Jonathan Glazer, who directed Sexy Beast and music videos like Virtual Insanity, the Jamiroquai video that blew everyone's mind a while back. This is a thinker. We would need another hour to really get deep into it.
Right.
But if you want to see a movie that is much... it's really not like anything you've seen lately, then that's the one to see.
And I thought I heard, I'm sorry to take it here, but I thought I heard on Steve Cochran's show this morning them talking about it and saying Scarlett has revealed more of herself in this movie than we've ever seen.
I heard that too.
If that helps you want to go see it, that is true. I'm reluctant to say that that is the reason to go see it, because that is, if people go in expecting something that is just a lot of nudity,
right,
and that type of thing, it's not at all going to be the movie you're expecting, trust me.
But thought-provoking, it sounds like.
Very much so, yeah. She's an alien who takes over a human body and seduces men, but it's a little reminiscent of Species, but in a much more artistic way. It's a thinker.
We were talking about seeing trailers and what you try to avoid or not. So the movies that are coming up that we're starting to see posters for and trailers for, is there something you haven't seen yet that you're really looking forward to and really hoping is going to be good this summer?
Oh, wow. I'm in the process of putting together the summer preview, so it's hard to remember what is even coming out. It's all such a blur. I don't know. I mean, I like the first Amazing Spider-Man okay. I know everyone was complaining, like, why do we need another one? We just had the other franchise.
Yeah.
But frankly, I would... will be fine redoing anything that originally starred Tobey Maguire. I'm just not a big fan of his.
You're like, redo, let's hear it.
So I'm fine with an Andrew Garfield version. Hopefully that sequel will be good. Jon Favreau has a new movie coming out called Chef. I was a big fan of Swingers, but in more recent years, his collaborations with Vince Vaughn have been like Couples Retreat and stuff like that, so not going in the right direction. Hopefully Chef will be better. I don't know. I'm always optimistic about the summer before it happens, and then after the summer movie season is over. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, could be cool with Chris Pratt. We'll see. Could be good.
The Captain America movie, is that as good as everybody's saying?
Yeah, I like that. He's my favorite of the Avengers. I think those are the best Avengers movies, including the Avengers. If people haven't seen that, that would be a good one to see too.
Matt Pace from The Red Eye, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, guys.